James 5:13 begins us by saying, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." We thank God for his word.
Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, so many of us eagerly anticipate your word. If for no other reason than that, we're just discouraged. We've lost heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, grant to us encouragement to not lose heart in prayer. Lord, to some of us, it may very well seem that prayer is just a bookend to more important things like eating or preaching or teaching or sleeping. Lord, I pray that you would show us this morning, if it would be your will through your Holy Spirit, the vital importance of prayer. Not just as a Christian duty, which it is, not just as a biblical command, which it is, but as the very breath of a life with you. Lord, most of us have become disheartened in prayer. Many of us feel so busy that we feel as though prayer is wasting time. Would you change our minds this morning? Many of us have such a hard time concentrating that we feel that it's maybe even more honoring to you not to pray than to try to pray and be so weak and feeble at it. Lord, would you change our mind this morning? Lord, so many of us may wonder whether prayer does any good. In fact, many of us may even doubt that it does in a highfalutin theological way or in a practically atheistic way. Lord, would you change our mind this morning? Would you show us that prayer is a non-negotiable, that it is so important that we should give up other things if we need to devote to prayer? Lord, would you please grant to us the kind of mind and heart for which prayer is not a cold-hearted duty, but the overflow of our affections, that we would pray and think in terms of prayer simply because of our walk with you and not to check off a box on our daily to-do list. Lord, we are miserable prayers, all of us. At least that's my assumption this morning. Would you grant to us your grace so that we don't feel like we're somehow earning points with you by praying on the one hand, but on the other hand, that we simply just throw our hands up and give up? Would you give us your grace to know that when we fail, you love us, and when we succeed, you love us, and our greatest successes don't even scratch the surface of what you deserve? Lord, most of all this morning, for the next 20 minutes or so, would you grant to us now a spirit that blocks out the things that'll be very busy in the next few days, the things waiting for us at home to do and to worry about and to think about? Would you grant to us a mind that can concentrate on these things to the praise of your glory always? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, please. It'll be our text for this morning. There's a lot going on this Sunday morning, a lot to think about, a lot to do. I am very, very happy that you're here, especially if you are a visitor or a first-timer this morning. I have, over the last couple of months or so, been preaching a topical series, which is not my normal course. Normally, I like preaching through books of the Bible, but after taking 6 months or so in John chapter 3, I thought it would be good to divert our eyes a while. And our topic for the summer is what I've been praying for you all year, and that is that you would not lose heart. This morning, we're going to talk about not losing heart in prayer. Prayer's easy, right? I mean, all you do is you just talk to God in your heart or out loud. You praise Him for all His greatness, and you ask Him for every need of your heart. Prayer is easy, right? Also, I want you to keep this in mind. I have absolutely no idea how faithful you are in prayer. I have no idea whether you spend an hour every morning, Bible open, praying to God. And if you do, and you're content with an hour a day, feel free to disregard what I'm about to say the next half hour or so. Lord willing, 20 minutes. I have no idea what your prayer life is like. And the only way for me to know what your prayer life is like is for you to tell me. And then I would think in my heart, well, what an arrogant, prideful person you are, right? In fact, there's a great story of this guy who was in a church, a famous preacher, was visiting a church, and the pastor came down after preaching, and he says, "You see that guy over there? He prays for 5 hours a day." And the guest preacher who was visiting says, "How do you know?" And the other pastor got a little uncomfortable. "Well, because he told me." And the pastor says, "Well, you never know if he's telling the truth. And secondly, you should probably keep that to himself. Maybe you pray 5 hours a day. And if you do, good for you. Praise God. I doubt that. But maybe I'm just a cold-hearted cynic. I do not pray 5 hours a day. And it's my job to. In fact, the Bible prescribes two things that are my job primarily. Acts 6:4 tells me that my job is the ministry of the word and to prayer. But it doesn't put it in that order. In fact, let me read Acts 6:4 to you. This is all introductory. Acts 6:4 tells me that the elders in Acts 6 says this: "We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." Those are the two things that the elders are to devote themselves to in Acts chapter 6. So if you want to say, "Dom, what's your job?" Those two things primarily are my job. And I've never had any problem devoting time to the ministry of the word, ever. I love preparing sermons. I love preparing lessons. I love preparing for VBS. I love preparing because I love getting my nose in this book. Prayer is harder for me. Why? It's easy, right? Well, no. Maybe it's easy to do, but it's hard to be faithful in. So I don't want you to think that I am some super prayer who never struggles in this area. I also don't want you to think that I think you are a super prayer who never struggles in this area. So what is prayer? What is it that we're talking about before we get to our text? Well, a Southern theologian named Dabney, I hope that's his last name, I think it is, said this: "Prayer is the natural homage due from the creature to his heavenly Father." Another theologian, Charles Hodge, states this, that prayer is the converse of the soul with God. He goes on to say, "It's not therefore prayer as the mere uttering of words, nor prayer as the uttering of natural desires of affection, as when one prays for his own life or for life of those dear to him, but it is prayer as the real intercourse of the soul with God by the Holy Ghost." That is, the Holy Ghost revealing truth, exciting feeling, and giving appropriate utterance. That's prayer. It's not just saying your prayers. It is pouring out your heart to a God you believe in, a God that you think exists, because he does. It's not just listing things that you would like. It is bowing the knee to a sovereign master of the universe. And friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we have given up prayer. Now, I can't talk about you because I don't know your heart. I do know my heart. And there are times when I pray and it is so weak and so nominal that it really kind of makes me feel a little sick to my stomach. One of the hardest places to pray for me is in a restaurant, but not for the reason you think. Not because I'm embarrassed that people would see me pray, because I'm not. It doesn't bother me at all. It's not that I'm embarrassed that people might hear me pray, because that doesn't embarrass me at all. What really is the hardest thing in a restaurant for me to pray is I'm thinking, my food is almost here. Have you ever done that? Well, let's pray. And all of a sudden you hear the waiter or waitress come up and you're thinking, here it comes. Thank you, Lord, for this food, right? What makes prayer so hard? Have you ever done this? You hear the waiter coming. You're halfway through a 15-minute prayer. You say, he'll wait. And you just let it go. Well, we don't. We don't pray as often as we should or like we should. Another area that's really tough for me is praying before I go to sleep. Because most of the time when I lay down and the lights are off and my head is on a pillow, I'm about to sleep. I go to sleep very quickly. And so a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever done this, I lay my head on the pillow and I start to pray, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. And then I start thinking about this day. Thank you, Lord, for sunshine. I like riding my bike. It was great when I was riding my bike today and I saw this squirrel. And all of a sudden, you're like, what am I thinking in my brain? There have been times when I've been praying and I fell asleep praying. And then I'm like, whatever I dreamed about are officially prayers now. And that makes me a little nervous because I'm weird. Let's look to the text, friend. Luke 18 is a great example to us of a parable because it helps us by giving us the exact purpose for it. In verse 1 of Luke 18, it says this, "And he was speaking to them a parable in order that they would pray and not lose heart." That's the purpose of this text. It's crystal clear. It's as plain as the nose on your face. It's excruciatingly difficult to apply, but it's easy to understand. Jesus spoke this passage so that you would positively pray and that negatively you would not lose heart in praying, that you wouldn't give up, that you wouldn't quit praying. Prayer should be something that you devote yourself to and that you devote energy to resisting the temptation to stop. We should be prayers. That's what this verse says. That is the purpose of this parable. The purpose of this parable is simply this, that first of all, we would pray at all times. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that you wake up in the morning and you get on your knees, you bow your head and you pray until bedtime and then you hop back in your bed and go to sleep? No. This says that we should pray always, and what he means by this is that our hearts should always be ready to pray like that. And when a concern comes to us, we should pray. And when we have a thought that doesn't honor God, we should pray repentance. And when we have a thought of great honor to God, we should praise in prayer. We should constantly be praying. See, if you're like me, you tend to think of prayer like a phone call where you dial or just say, call so-and-so. And then once they connect, you talk to them, and then you hit the little red button, and it's over. But that's not how we should think about prayer. We are constantly connected with God. He knows exactly what you're thinking all the time. He knows exactly what you're going to say, what you did say, and what you were going to say if you didn't say what you did say. He knows you. And so we should have a prayerful attitude all the time. Don't lose heart. But one of the reasons why you may lose heart is that is an amazing standard, isn't it? I mean, isn't it difficult to tell somebody to do something all the time? I mean, certain things are easy. If I say this, breathe all the time and don't stop. Can you do that? Well, you can. You'll fail once, right? But by then, I can't yell at you for it, right? But Jesus tells us that we should pray all the time and not give up, not lose heart. The second thing is the presentation of this parable, and we'll deal quickly with the story and get more towards the application this morning, although that's difficult for me, as you well know. He was saying this: there was a certain judge in a certain city who did not fear God and did not respect man. Let's just stop there for a second. This begs to be explained. Jesus is talking about a judge who does not care about you and is not afraid of God. We have to understand his character for this parable to make any sense. He doesn't care about you, and he doesn't care about God. Okay? This is what happens next in verse 3. And a widow in that city came and began speaking to him, saying, "Give me justice from my adversary. Give me justice from my adversary." We have a widow. In this culture, widows have nobody. The assumption here is that she doesn't have kids, because she obviously doesn't have a husband, because she's a widow. And so since she doesn't have kids, she has to beg the judge to give her justice. Can you imagine this? If you had to go to somebody for justice who doesn't fear God and doesn't care about you, what would you do? Would you even try? I mean, if you know, pretty much know, that the person you're going to ask is going to say no, do you still ask? My kids do. Can I stay up till 10? No. Great. They still ask. Great faith, right? Can I have $100? Well, no, right? But thanks for asking, right? Somebody comes up to you and says, can I borrow your car for a year? No. But thanks. Are we the kind of people who will ask the question knowing we're probably going to get a no? Well, that's what this widow did. So she goes up to this corrupt judge who hates people and hates God and says, "I need justice. I need justice. I need justice." And he says to himself, "Yikes." Now, without shouting out anyone's name, have you ever had somebody just keep wearing on you until you finally just exasperatingly say yes? Have you ever done that? Say to your parents, "Can I have ice cream? No. Can I have ice cream? No. Can I have ice cream? Yes." That's what happens here. Notice in verse 5, it says this. He didn't want to help her, but after these things, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God, neither do I respect man," which is good because the judge himself realizes that he's a really terrible human being, right? In verse 5 it says, "Yet, because this woman keeps coming to me," ultimately he says, "she will wear me out in the end." So what the judge says is, look, this lady is so annoying that I'm going to give her justice, because if I don't, she's going to keep asking until I do. This judge says, this lady is a pain in the neck. I might as well just give in. Is God like that? Is God like that? No. You see the point? If an old lady, widow, can wear down a judge that does not love her and does not love the glory of God, how should we approach a God who loves us and infinitely delights in his own glory? In verse 6, it says this, "And the Lord said, hear what this unrighteous judge is saying." Then in verse 7, he says that God is different. He says this: "Will not God give justice to his elect?" That is, those who are saved, those who are chosen. And notice how he describes them in verse 7: "To those who cry out to him day and night." He says this: if an unjust judge who hates people will give in to persistence, what will the God who loves us so much that he gave his son for us do? But notice how he describes us, the elect, the chosen, the believers. We are those who cry out to him day and night. We don't lose heart. We are the ones that pray constantly, or at least consistently. In verse 8, Jesus says, I say to you that he will give her justice quickly, in quickness, literally. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, the question is this. The point of the parable is this. Will we keep asking God? Or will we just say, hey God, can I have this? And then just walk away? Will we have persistence? Friends, I love you. You know I do. It's 11 o'clock and I'm not even close to halfway done here. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stay an extra hour. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to say a couple of things real quick, wrap this up, and we're going to come back to this next Sunday, okay? So if you're here this week, come next week. If you can't be here next week, download it or listen to it online because there's too much stuff to go too quickly here. Let me just do a couple of things real quick. Let me go through the reasons why we may lose heart in prayer, and then next week I'll talk about why we shouldn't. The first thing is that we don't always get what we want. Wasn't it some great theologian that says, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need? Well, sometimes we don't even get what we need, right? We pray things and we don't get them. I had a conversation with somebody who was skeptical about the faith, and he says this, if the Eagles are playing the Cowboys, and half the stadium prays for the Eagles, and half the stadium prays for the Cowboys, who's going to win? And I said, the Eagles. And he said, why? And I said, because they're a better football team. And I said, I have no idea who's going to win. I know who's going to heaven, though. No, I'm just kidding. Friends, I know you will ask for things in prayer and you will not get them. Next Sunday, we'll talk about that because that's actually a good thing. And I think you would want it that way if you thought about it correctly. Another reason why we tend to lose heart in prayer is because we don't believe it really does anything. And I'll talk next week about the fact that there's two approaches to this. The low theology approach, which is practical atheism that says God isn't real, so he won't give us anything. But then there's the high theological approach to this, which says, well, since God is in control of everything, why pray? Well, we'll talk about that next week. Thirdly, because our minds wander and we have a hard time concentrating. Most of us are PADHD. Or no, wait, PADD. We're PAD. Prayer Attention Deficit Disorder. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're all like this. We pray, and like we talked about, our mind wanders. Well, I'll offer to you a remedy to that next week, Lord willing. Fourthly, because there's 1,000 other things we should be doing, and this is a big one for me. We'll talk about again next week. If I sit in my office and pray for an hour, just an hour, that's an hour where I wasn't doing all the other hundreds of things I need to do. And sometimes I have to remind myself that prayer is more important than those other things. Would you pray for me in that regard? But how would you feel if you came to my office to talk to me and the secretary said, well, come back in an hour, he's praying. You'd probably say something like this, well, I just have something real quick, right? Well, we're going to correct that next week. And the fifth thing is because we just don't know what to say. I hope you come back next Sunday because there's a remedy for this as well. One of my favorite prayer stories, I know I've shared this before and I'll close with this, is that when I was being discipled, which is a very important thing, as the Palmer said, and something I would encourage you, if you've never been discipled, to talk to me and we'll try and hook you up with somebody, if not me. When I was being discipled, the man discipling me asked me to pray, and I prayed, and I was so embarrassed, because I, you know, in my brain, I feel like Rocky, you know what I mean? Like, So I spit out this prayer. And at the end, I say amen, and I look up at him, and I said, look, I'm really sorry. I know that prayer wasn't very elegant. And he says, you mean eloquent, and I felt even worse. Prayer is too important to rush. It's too important to gloss over. So let me close by praying for you that in this next week, you would be more mindful of your prayer. And next week, we'll come back to this, and we'll put some more flesh on the bones, as it were, and we'll deal with some remedies to these issues. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, you may wonder, what's the big deal? Let me encourage you. It's a very big deal to talk to the Creator of the universe. And with the last 10 minutes we have left in this service, let's spend that 10 minutes singing, but first praying to the God who is real. And if any of you have any questions, I'm all ears later. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know if it's the right thing to do to space this out. Instead of just moving really quickly, I pray that you would give me wisdom in the coming weeks so that I would be able to make sure I can explain this more clearly. But Lord, I do know, and I thank you for the fact that there's nothing more important to our lives than prayer. Nothing. And Lord, I confess to you that I do not pray like I want to. I don't pray like I should. I go through seasons of great prayerfulness and seasons of great dryness. Lord, I confess that sometimes I lose heart. I lose heart over the difficulty of assembling prayer groups. I lose heart over the difficulty of not being so self-conscious about how stupid I sound to myself. Lord, I pray that you would use your word next Sunday as we come back to this, that you would use your word to really change us from within, to lead us, to deepen our prayer and teach us how to pray. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they wouldn't take this morning as an example of what church is always going to be like. That they wouldn't leave thinking, oh, there's a ton of announcements and there's a ton of special things and very little time for the Word of God. I pray that you would help them to know that different Sundays are handled differently. Lord, I pray that as we conclude this service, that you would once again bless those who are serving in VBS. And help them not to give up praying this week. If day one goes great, I pray that they would pray harder. If day one goes horrible, I pray that they would pray harder. Encourage their hearts. Lord, would you also please just accept our worship as we close the service? Because you deserve this and infinitely more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing, shall we?